Years ago, I remember having a discussion with some people about the nature of this gospel passage and God's mercy. As the question came up, how is it that some people could spend a lifetime going to Mass, saying their prayers, doing all the right things, and could end up dying and go to purgatory, but yet somebody comes later on in life, and maybe their life hasn't been all that great, but yet they make a very good, sincere act of contrition and change their life around, and they die and get to go to heaven? So one lady responded by saying, well, I'll tell you one thing, if I die and I go to be judged and I see somebody in heaven before me who shouldn't be there, it'll be a big old hurricane, the biggest one you'll ever saw. Like, well, it didn't really work out that way, right? So God is merciful and God is just, we know that, but God himself is able to be generous as he sees fit. Only God can see the soul. Only God can see the soul. In many of the Mass prayers, such as the opening collect that we offered at the beginning of Mass this morning, you'll notice the term, that we may merit. You hear that pretty often, that we may merit. So today we prayed, O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and our neighbor, grant that by keeping your precepts, we may merit to attain eternal life. So you hear that word merit come up again. Now, the word merit does not mean to earn, but to receive the promised end, that is, the fulfillment. We cannot earn God's love. We can't earn God's mercy. We cannot earn salvation, but we can receive the fulfillment of a promise that God makes to us. This is what God is doing. It's the fulfillment of what he does in us and through us, and what you and I are called by him to do, to participate in God's work. God works in us and through us, and we work for him. In a word, God initiates, God sustains, and God fulfills. We cooperate with what God does. So God initiates, God sustains, God fulfills, we cooperate. In that cooperation with God, there is no doubt that we certainly have work to do. Like the workers of the gospel, you've been and I've been summoned to labor in the Lord's vineyards. He is the one that owns the vineyard, we're the workers, and he's calling us to work there for him and with him. Here we are, we're planting seeds of faith, we're nourishing those seeds with grace, we are tending the young plants with love, and we gather up a harvest of good works, and all this in the expectation of the reward of eternal life, which we will have. The Lord calls out to us, he asks us to come, we gladly and willingly respond. And think about this, it's an honor for us to be able to be called by God to cooperate and work with him. Of all the people of the world, he has chosen us as his disciples in Christ to do exactly this work. And there's plenty of work to do. As Jesus says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. The work that we have is the cultivation of our own holiness, to become the people, the men and women that God called us to be, made in his image and sanctified by grace. And as we work out our salvation, here we are encouraging others by our example and by our words to love Christ all the more. The more we love Christ and show others to do the same thing, the more they love Christ. So with that thought in mind, there should be no one, none of our friends, none of our relatives, nobody should be able to say at the end of their lives that they had no one to be concerned about them, because that's exactly our duty. That's what God calls us to do. To tend to and take care of one another. So no one should ever be able to say they had no one to be concerned about them. That's where we come in. We should be. All of us should be looking for opportunities to be of some help to others, especially those who are closest to us. Even something as simple as a phone call or just an encouraging word, those things are powerful. As St. Paul says, as long as we're living in the flesh, it means fruitful labor for us. That's what we're here for. And our labors, as I mentioned, are not without merit. As I said, God has freely chosen us to associate us with the work of his grace. So I said, it's true. We cannot earn God's grace. We can't earn his favor. We can't earn his love or salvation. It's by hearing his call and responding to it and moved by grace to seek him in love that we gain for ourselves and for others the graces that we need for our own personal growth in holiness, an increase of grace and charity for ourselves and the prize of eternal life, and invite others to share in the very same thing. The love of Christ. That's the everything that we have. He's the source of all that we are. The love of Christ is all that we have. The love of Christ is what we have yet to receive. Again, as St. Paul writes, Christ will be magnified in me, in my life and in my death. For life is Christ and death is gain. So here in this world, brothers and sisters, we live for Christ in order that when we die, we can live with Christ, in both of which we are called by the Lord to share in his life. So yes, like St. Paul, we should have a great desire to leave this world. We should have a great desire to go to heaven. We should have a great desire to be with the Lord, no doubt. But at the same time, we should desire just as much to remain here for the benefit of others, that Christ can work through us for them in every way as we conduct ourselves in conformity with the gospel. St. Therese of Lisieux put it this way, after earth's exile, I hope to enjoy you, Christ, in the fatherland of heaven. But I don't want to lay up merits just for heaven for myself alone. In other words, not to be a good person just for the sake of being a good person. Rather, she says, I want to work for your love, for love of you, O Jesus, for love of you alone. In the evening of my life, that is, at the end of this life, I shall appear before you with empty hands, for I do not ask you, Lord, to count my works. All of our human justice is blemished in your eyes. I wish then to be clothed in your own justice and to receive from your love the eternal possession of yourself and yourself alone. That sums it up. Our desire to be clothed in his justice, to receive from his love the eternal possession of himself and himself alone. That's the message of the gospel. It's about the generosity of the owner, not the labor of the workers in the vineyard. What matters, brothers and sisters, is that you and I respond lovingly and faithfully to God's call, and that we lovingly and faithfully in the vineyard, with emphasis on love and faith, which make our labors worthwhile, receive with gratitude the generous recompense of the owner as he sees fit. As the psalm said, great is the Lord and highly to be praised. He is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all of his works. He is near to all who call upon him in sincerity and truth. May you and I never, ever shy away from the burdens of the day, even if we find the burdens difficult or the days long, but instead put our trust in the Lord's mercy, asking him to bless the work that we do in his name, the work that we do for love of him, the work that we do to receive him and him alone.